Hey, Barb, what do you call a parade of rabbits hopping backwards? A receding hairline. Good night, everybody. Let's pray. Pray before that, probably. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. Whatever your will is, let it be done. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're continuing our series on love. We're picking up where we left off with verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, which is Paul's lesson to the church about love, what it is and what it is not. Now, last time we saw that love bears all things, that it is willing to take a burden to help others. This week, we will see that love believes all things. 1 Corinthians 13, 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. A quick point about love that is noted here. The love here is agape love, not romantic love. It is the love of God that is in you, not the love you're in. So once again, it's the love that's in you, not the love you're in. It is self-sacrificing love, not self-gratifying love. We quote this all the time at weddings, but perhaps we should use it when people come to the Lord or join a church, maybe more appropriate, as this is the love that is God. Agape love dominates New Testament scripture, where it is used 116 times. Think of it as a verb, not an emotion or a feeling. Agape is God in action. All the love that he demonstrates through his words and deeds is agape love. It is defined by his very being. So this is not telling us that eros, romantic love, or philia, brotherly love, or storge, family love, believes all things. It would not be advisable for these types of love to believe all things. This is how we usually find ourselves in the common conundrums of this life. We believe something we shouldn't because of love. At one time, Cheryl believed I had money. And maybe that's because that's what I told her. But look how it turned out for her. Life teaches us not to believe all things, especially when love is involved, because love makes us vulnerable to accepting what we want to be true, whether it is or not. As the idiom goes, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see. And this holds as wisdom until we encounter the love of God, agape love. As we have logical reason to believe all things that this love tells us. Because this love is incapable of lying, as this love, like God, is truth. The sum of his words is truth. These words sanctify us. They make us free. This grace and truth of God comes to us through three witnesses that prove itself over and over again: the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the experiences of our life. If God is love and God is truth, then God's love is truth. And everything that it has done and said, all of it, demands to be believed. Numbers 23:19, God says this: God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? He puts the contrast between us and them. God is not a man that he should lie, assuming, of course, that we do. This explains the all of verse 7. Everything that God has told you is to be trusted, because God is agape love. His word is fact. The basis for our faith is God's love for us. This love is not a part of him. This love is him. The very nature of God is to love us. The words of this verse, bears, believes, hopes, and endures, are all terms of faith. We bear, we hope, and we endure because we believe. What do we believe? We believe God's love. We believe in it. And all the other beliefs that we have flow from this basic and fundamental truth that God is love and God loves us. Dramatic pause. God's agape love is what tells us that his unlimited power and his unlimited knowledge will be forces of endearment in our lives, not forces of despise or indifference. God's power tells us that he can. God's love tells us that he will. God's love, agape love, guarantees all things that it proclaims. No other love offers this benefit of absolute and solemn truth. With God's love, believing all things is not dangerously naive. It is the wisdom of the ages. It is the foundation of our eternal existence, the essence of what we are in him. Faith outside of love is impossible, and salvation without faith even more so. Love and the belief that it affords us brings us a sure peace that what we know about ourselves is overwhelmed by what we know about God's love for us. 1 John 4:17 through 18. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, none. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. God's love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence. Confidence is the essence of our faith. Faith that knows no fear because it is based on a love that believes all things that God has told us. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. In Jesus Christ, being a Jew or a Gentile means nothing. What does matter is faith working through love. Faith does not work any other way. Without love, there is no faith. Without love, we believe nothing. With love, we believe all things that the truth tells us about our God, about ourselves, and about each other. Believing all things that agape love affords us, this is confidence of our outcome. And this confidence pours over into what we believe about others. Because God loves you as I know he loves me, I believe all the same truths for you that I believe for myself. I know your destiny is to be the very best of what we can be. I know that you are destined for the image of Christ. I know that the Spirit and the Word are at work in you to purify you. I believe that the Spirit in you will conquer the flesh in you. I believe all the good things for you that the love of God affords in this world of hate and indifference. I believe you are fundamentally different. I believe it so strongly that your current and present conduct does not define who you are to me. I believe you are becoming perfect. Time does not dissuade me from this belief. I believe all things for you because I know how deeply God loves you. Perhaps it is easier for me to believe all things for you than it is for myself. After all, I've had an unfiltered look into the depths of my nature. I've seen what I've done. I've heard what I've said. And perhaps even more damning, I know what I've wanted to do and I know what I've wanted to say. There is nothing in me strong enough to mitigate who and what I am. I know full well that I deserve all retribution that I have coming my way. I cannot save myself. No hope rests inside of me, save maybe the hope for a quick ending. Only the truth of God's love can change what I believe about myself. His unconditional love for me is what allows me to believe that all the things that his word promises apply to me, all of them. Love changes what I believe about what I am, from what I was to what I absolutely will be. God's perfect love is casting out all fear I have about myself and about what I am. In Mark 5:36, Jesus speaks to Jairus about his daughter, and he says, "Do not be afraid any longer. only believe. Don't be afraid anymore. Simply believe. Don't be afraid any longer. Only believe, especially when you face the hard things of this life. Jairus was facing the death of his daughter. We know that these things are used by God to change us. We believe what Scripture has to say about trials and the hard things. They purify us, and they are a witness to the world. We all face the same things, brothers and sisters. Our witness is how we handle them. Because we are loved by God, we believe that Scripture has to say about the hard and harsh things of this life. And God's plan for you, believing all of this, makes us more than conquerors, no matter what we face. Psalms 119, 66 and 67. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. A couple verses later, in verse 71 of 119, it says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. When you can know this and learn it as it's happening, the peace of God will overwhelm your life. In Jeremiah 31, 18 through 19, it says, I have surely heard Ephraim grieving. You have chastened me, and I was chastened like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. And I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. In other words, the things that I had done in my past weighed heavy on me, but you brought them forward and we dealt with them because you love me. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, for my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects a son in him who he delights. We pray so hard for these things to go away, when what we need is for them to come and to accept them and to walk through them. Lamentations 3, 24 through 33. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth. It is good that you should deal with it. It is good that you should face it. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter. Let him be filled with reproach. For the Lord will not reject forever. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his abundant loving kindness. For the Lord does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men. He doesn't do it for fun, but he does do it. And there's no amount of prayer that's going to make it go away because God is busy doing what he does. The more you know God, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you trust him. Trust and believe him enough to wait and to wait silently. Love believes enough to wait. Faith is belief applied over time. Without time, faith means nothing. Love is the foundation of this faith. It alone conquers time. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 14. You know, I've quoted this last part many times. Here's the first part. Lord speaking to Israel. The Lord speaking to you about your life. The Lord speaking with how he deals with you personally. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. If you want to imagine this world as Babylon, it makes sense. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare. For its welfare will be your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to bring you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you to exile. Brothers and sisters, after 70 years, you're dead. 70 years here in Babylon. 70 years on this planet, a lifetime. For what? For glory. To be brought back to the Lord. To be ready. To be found. And to find Him. He knows exactly what He's doing. Romans 8:18 sums it up. Because love believes this. It believes it totally. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. What this is saying is the 70 years are worth it. God knows exactly what He's doing, and He loves you. This is what love believes. It believes that when things are hard, it knows these things, that this pain, this hardship has a purpose, it has a meaning, it is doing something for you. Love believes that the power of love will overcome the love of power, and this world will know peace one day. That one day we will willingly beat our swords into plowshares, and that the lions will lay down with the lambs, and we will no longer do harm to each other and to this creation. Love believes that everyone is redeemable. No one is beyond reach of the influence of love. Love can overwhelm anything that is not love. Love believes that we are eternal, that we are being prepared for that eternity by this life. What value is eternity if I simply am a mortal version of me, if I'm like this forever? Love believes in sanctification that occurs during our journey to Babylon and back. Love believes that it is powerful enough to cover a multitude of sins, each and every transgression, without exception. The power of love casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and the only vestige of sin left is the wisdom our failures afford us. We are here to experience and feel what love is not, so we will know it and value it when we see it as it is. Love can do no wrong. It is incapable of bad motives or wrong actions. Love believes it can do all things through Christ, that it has a value to add to any situation. Love believes that the truth will never change, so that we not fear it leaving us. God's love is based on who He was, is, and always will be. He changes not, so His love never changes. There will never be a time when He will not love you. This is absolute security. Love believes that we will be glorified by God simply because He desires to do so. We will be perfected. We will sit on a throne with Christ. We will judge the angels and rule with Christ, not because we are worthy, but because we are loved. Not because we are capable, but because love prepares us. When we learn to love as God loves, then we will be heir to all things that Christ is heir to. Such is love. Believe it. Believe all of it. Amen.